insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Now let's listen to the second verse of chapter Nur.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة. ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين.
The unmarried woman or unmarried man found guilty of sexual intercourse, lash each one of them with 100 lashes, and do not be taken by pity for them in the religion of Allah, if you should believe in Allah and the Last Day, and let a group of the believers witness their punishment.
الزانية والزاني فجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلد. The fornicatress and the fornicator, scourge you each one of them with 100 stripes. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Let not pity for them withhold you from enforcing the sentence of Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you believe in Allah and the Last Day. وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And let a party of the believers witness their punishment. Now, according to the conditions of the persons, there are different judgments of fornication. In this verse, only one of its cases is referred to. The case that if a celibate man or woman commits fornication, each of them will be flogged with 100 stripes. But if a person who has spouse and commits adultery, the punishment is stoning to death. If someone who has spouse, but he or she cannot reach him or her, for example, the spouse is behind bars, and commits fornication, the judgment of stoning to death is changed to stripes. The Holy Quran counts fornication as an indecency and horrible deed and prohibits it where it says, and do not approach fornication. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. And it counts the abundance of fornication as a sign for the true servants of Allah, where it says, the faithful servants of the beneficent Allah are those who nor commit fornication. And again, it considers the avoidance of committing this sin as the condition for the allegiance with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. As in other occurrence, the Quran says, O Prophet, when believing women came unto thee, taking oath of allegiance unto thee that they will neither steal nor commit adultery. After this general statement of the verse, the first decisive and determining ordinance about fornicatress and fornicator is presented. It says, "الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدٍ." The fornicatress and the fornicator, scourge you each one of them with 100 stripes. To emphasize more, the Quran adds, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Let not pity for them withhold you from enforcing the sentence of Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you believe in Allah and the last day. And finally, at the end of the verse, to conclude this divine punishment, another matter is added, where it says, وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And let a party of the believers witness their punishment. على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, dear listeners, as a matter of fact, this verse contains 3 commandments, the second verse, I mean. The first commandment is the ordinance of punishing fornicatress and fornicator. The purpose of fornication is unlawful sexual intercourse. The second point, and the second actually commandment, is emphasis on the matter of not being moved by compassion and sentiments at the time of executing divinely prescribed punishments. These sentiments and kindness yield as result only corruption and defilement in society. But to deactivate the motivation of such sentiments, the surah brings up the issue of belief in Allah and the Day of Judgment, because the sign of belief in origin and resurrection is absolute resignation to Allah's commandment. So the belief in the Lord of the world, who is all-knowing, all-wise, makes man know that each commandment is based on a philosophy and wisdom and is not legislated without any reason. Having faith in resurrection causes man to feel responsibility for violations and transgressions of the society. So here is an interesting tradition that must be noted carefully. The Prophet ﷺ says, on the Day of Judgment, some of the rulers who have decreased 1 stripe from the divinely prescribed punishment will be fetched. They will be questioned why they had done such a thing. They will answer, "For having mercy on your servants." And Allah will say, "Did you show more mercy to them than I did?" And the command of throwing him into the fire will be issued. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me, worry ends when faith begins.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather to learn more about Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yesterday we began a discussion regarding prophetic advice, advice that the Prophet counseled our first Imam alayhi salam and asked him to preserve these things. And what we said about these advice as we go through them is that these things are very practical, very doable. Now as far as its implementation into our lives will really depend on where we are in the perspective of faith. How much do we engage in these things in the first place for us to be able to let go of them so that we can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we talked about the first prophetic advice, which was to always speak the truth and to never have a word of a lie come out of our mouth. And so we discussed that in detail. Today we come to the second advice, where the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him and his family, says, وَالثَّانِيَا الْوَرَعُ وَلَا تَجْتَرِي عَلَىٰ خِيَانَةٍ أَبَدًا. Again, twice this abada comes, yeah? He says the second is to practice wara and never venture upon any type of khiyana ever. There are different layers of where a person's wara or piety may be. The most common or the most basic level, this is the level of the awam. This is us, basically, right? Is that wara means to abstain from all types of sin. That's piety. Yeah? And we'll focus on this, right, in more detail, because this is where we are, right? That our wara, our piety, for us to be considered pious, our first and primary level is to avoid sin. That's it, yeah? Things that we should be doing, but we all know how difficult it is to do. Hence, for us, the awam, we will be considered pious by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we can simply avoid sin. Subhanallah. That's powerful, yeah? That's powerful if you think about it. Now, this is the awam. Then there is the khawas, yeah? There is the elite, right? For the people who are elite, their wara, their piety consists of refraining or avoiding anything which is doubtful. Because anything which is doubtful has a greater chance of making me distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they avoid any place, any situation where there is a possibility that something may happen which will distance me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a higher level altogether, right? We will agree with that. There is halal and haram, and between that there is a tremendous amount of space. But those who have this higher level of piety or understanding of God, they will avoid even those things which may hint of coming close to doing something haram. They will avoid that, and that's the next step. And so again, if for example you are able to look at your life and say honestly that, okay, alhamdulillah, I don't sin on purpose. And you know what? It shouldn't take a lot for us to say that. Yeah, we have, alhamdulillah, been living this faith for so long, proclaiming the oneness of God for so long, that I've always felt this. It's mind-boggling to me when people still sin on purpose. Mind-boggling to me. Like, how can you get into the car and listen to music? How? Right? How can you turn on the TV and watch something inappropriate? How? Are you no fear of God at all? At all? Yeah? What kind of faith do we have? Right? Like, I get these questions all the time from like youngsters especially, but it's not just reserved for youngsters. And I remind them that, look man, you are walking a very dangerous path, that you know this is haram and you still engage in it. Dangerous path. Because if you die at that time, God forbid, we never know, but God forbid you die at that time knowing that Allah is there and I am still doing it, you die in kufr. Yeah? That means you don't consider God valuable at all. Like, we should be mindful of these type of things, right? And so the second level is, we said, to avoid things which are doubtful, right? The third level, and this is even a higher level, this is the wara of the ascetics, the zahidun, the people who practice zuhud. For them, it's their wara is to even avoid those things which are lawful, which are allowed, because they know that they will one day be questioned about that which they did. Now that's another level altogether, right? And we're not asking us to hit that yet, right? But that second level of wara is where we should be, right? Where if we know a place is doubtful, a thing is doubtful, doesn't smell right, doesn't feel right, then don't do it, right? Don't do it. Like, I get questions all the time, like, Sheikh, is this music allowed? And I was like, man, why are you asking me to listen to it? Right? Like, I don't listen to it. Like, if you're even asking that question, don't listen to it. Right? Don't listen to it. Very simple, right? Like, it's the same thing we said about like the practice of silence and speaking. We said, if you even have to ask yourself that, hey, is this going to be offensive? Then don't ask, don't say it. Right? Because if you even have to ask yourself that question, it's probably in that gray area, so don't say it, don't do it, right? And similarly, when it comes to our lifestyle, so we can talk about all of these other things, but for us, when the Prophet says, "Athaniya al-wara," that the second advice I give you, O Ali, is to practice wara, this wara for us is to avoid sin.
Astaghfirullah. Forgive me, Allah.
What we have to understand about sinning and why sinning has been told to us to avoid at all costs is that sinning rusts the heart. Yeah? You should go and listen to the series of lectures we did on the heart and why it's so important. Sinning rusts the heart. Now, we don't necessarily see that rust because it may have been a one-time sin. But that one-time sin already made the heart experience that sin. It made the heart taste that sin. And so that flavor of sin remains in the heart forever. Forever. You can't avoid that anymore. This is why, like, when, if I could, like, guide some young people, my first and foremost advice would be to never sin. Never sin. Yeah? Is it possible? Man, it's possible. Of course it's possible. Is it difficult? Of course it's difficult. Right? But you don't have to sin. Look, there are certain things that we just can't avoid. Yeah? We just can't avoid. Now, we can't avoid there being music when I go to the grocery store. I can't avoid that. I can't be like, hey, shut off the music. Yeah? We do that at restaurants sometimes. Oh, can you shut this up? We can't go to a grocery store. You can't sit on the TTC and then the music stop. No, these things are unavoidable, right? And so you have to live your life around that. But you don't purposely then add on more distractions into your own life by doing it yourself willfully, right? What we understand is that sins put a layer of rust on the hearts. And that in itself is a problem because it begins to turn our attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue with other advice inshallah.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Under the starry sky of the desert, from the very heart of evergreen forests, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, closer, Iran,
Salam. I'm a nature enthusiast and traveler. In Close Up Iran, I introduce you to the wonders and beauties of my country, Iran. Stay with me. Places may be beautiful for their design, but sometimes they're beautiful because of their very age, because of the mark that time has left upon them. Save Jame Mosque is one of the historical, religious, and beautiful buildings where you can see traces of three historical periods before Islam, the first centuries of the advent of Islam in Iran, and the Safavid era. Isn't that interesting? Three historical periods. So why not making a trip there? Save Jame Mosque is located in the city of Save in Markazi province, central Iran. This historical mosque is made of adobe and mud. The building of Save Jame Mosque consists of a courtyard and a dome in its southern part, two ivans, a minaret, several prayer halls or shabistans, and old mihrabs decorated and built with Kufic and Sol's scripts. The beautiful Iranian architecture, along with the handmade art of turquoise tiling of the dome, has doubled the beauty of the Save Mosque. Save Jame Mosque was registered in the National Heritage List close to 80 years ago. The mosque underwent renovation and reconstruction during various historical periods. Located southwest of Tehran, so I decided to drive my own car to reach this historical monument.
For the World Court's opinion on Israel's occupation of their land.
So here there is a sign which says the mosque is a few blocks away from here. And here I park my car and take a walk to the mosque. Oh, the weather is great. And all I need is just a camera to record the beautiful niches of this great mosque. Okay, I can see the single minaret of the mosque and the turquoise dome of it. You know what? The turquoise dome of this mosque has a height of 16 meters and a diameter of 14 meters. It's shining like a beautiful gem. Camera. I need my camera. Good. I'm so excited. Iranian architecture is attractive. And here I am at the wonderful courtyard of the mosque. Oh my God, look at the prayer halls. They are magnificent. Experts believe the beautiful prayer halls and corridors of the mosque with their brick facades were built during the Seljuk era. It's more like a museum. Let me take some photos. Great. Archaeological samples dating back to the pre-Islamic, early Islamic and Safavid eras have been unearthed by archaeologists conducting research on the mosque. And here I enter the mosque. Wow! The main mihrab of the mosque has vertical and horizontal inscriptions on its three walls. They are engraved with Kufi and Sulus scripts and Quranic verses. Very beautiful. God bless the archaeologists of this mosque. Jame Mosque of Save is a valuable legacy in religion, architecture, painting, tiling, and ornamentations such as plasterwork and Kufi and Sulus scripts. I prefer to talk less so that I won't lessen the beauty of this Iranian architectural masterpiece. This historical mosque attracts visitors from different Islamic countries. So, pack your suitcase and make a visit to this historical mosque and don't forget to take a camera with yourself. Life is short, so don't miss its countless beauties.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program of Viewpoints. I am Bita, the host of today's episode, and here with me there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Brother Hassanin. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So I'm going to start the episode of today with one of the beautiful quotes from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. من أخذ للمظلوم من الظالم كان معي في الجنة مصاحبا. Whoever takes the right of the oppressed from the oppressor, whether the oppressed is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, will be with me in paradise or heaven. As you know, we see the Palestinian people that are in a condition that are oppressed. Despite this oppression, they are so powerful that we can take a lot of lessons as we talked about this point in the last episodes. And the thing and the point is that we have responsibility here towards the people who are oppressed, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. So in this episode, we're going to talk about these responsibilities they have, we have, and all of the parties involved here. And at first, we're going to start with the responsibilities of the Palestinian people themselves. What are their responsibilities and what they should do? So Brother Hassanein, I'm all ear for your explanation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the responsibility, when you talk about the responsibility, the first thing that comes, the main responsibility is for Palestinians to resist.
Yeah.
So, and thankfully they have been resisting so far. So these martyrdom operations are the peak of the resistance. You see people being martyred. So the fact that a man, a youth, a boy, a girl is prepared to sacrifice his or her life for the sake of the religion and national interest is the peak of honor and bravery. So when you see this, when you resist for your country and when you resist your faith and your religion, so this fears the enemy. So when you show your resistance, this will dull the will of the enemies. So this will weaken the enemy when you all fight right back. So this is the first one. Like, we need this this resistance is a must. So not fearing and just fighting back.
Thank you. So Brother Ali, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam Muhammad and his purified progeny. I can define some two or three responsibilities for the people inside the Palestine or the Palestinian brothers and sisters, and then some responsibilities for the Islamic Ummah and neighboring countries from the Islamic countries. But now we are focusing on the responsibilities of the Muslims inside the Palestine. They definitely will approve me in this statement that most of them understood the uselessness of peace talks. So anything that creates division among them should be refrained from, should be avoided. Mm-hmm. So we have seen that such tricks have to be refrained and avoided anymore. I mean, they should go only for the sake of unity. And in case there are some people inside them that they are going to cause or even sow the seeds of discord, they have to actually remove them from their own societies. So because unity is the first and foremost thing that they are in need of, unity. They have to keep their unity best. Second, they have found and actually tasted the beauty of muqawama and resistance. So they have to go for it. I mean, they have to keep on their muqawama and their resistance. They understood that when they step forward, even for one single step, the other enemy, I mean, the opposite side, that is the enemy, will go back and withdraw for 10 steps, you see? And it has been seen and witnessed in reality. So it's good for them to know that muqawama is something that has a, let's say, has a fruit, has an end. They have to, I think, continue and keep and strengthen their maqam and resistance in front of the Israeli land. Next point that I want to, I understand it as, let's say, duty of the brothers and sisters in Palestine is to keep their cautiousness with the issues that they have inside them. When enemy actually finds that this unity is forming and it is going to find itself, they will definitely do some issues and among
try
them.
To break it.
They will try to divide them. Yeah. They have to be cautious inside themselves to be watchful on whatever goes inside their communities and their assemblies and their events. Recently, we have seen a video that a lady was penetrating inside the Islamic communities in mm-hmm. Palestine, and she was a famous, or let's say a professional spy of Israel. Mm-hmm. So she actually penetrated with an Arabic language, with a decent Arabic language, and then she pretended that she is, let's say, a mujahid. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, she was reporting all the activities of the Muslims to the other side. So unity, refraining from any disunity, and to take lessons from the previous peace talks, not to again get entrapped by these peace talks, by right. these useless peace talks, and keeping their cautiousness and be cautious on whatever is around them. And Allah's promise, inshallah, will definitely happen. Allah says, "La yansuranna Allah man yansura, inna Allah laqawiyyun aziz." If they will do and they will care for all these steps, and Allah's promise is always in its place. I mean, we have never seen any breaking of the promise from Allah's side. If we have experienced it in our country. Whenever we were depending on ourselves, that is, we believed in our power, in our abilities and capabilities, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we progressed.
Right.
But whenever we actually put our efforts towards west or east, we have seen the result. At the time of before this revolution, King of Shah Iran, before this revolution, and also after revolution in the governments that we had, some of them actually were twisting towards west, some other toward east. And we see that the times that we were standing on our own feet, we have seen the results.
Exactly.
So we need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to find our self-confidence. And we actually prescribe the same prescription to our Palestinian brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
Trust Allah and Allah's promise will be close.
I just would like to add like two more points to this discussion. And one already Brother Ali has mentioned, that, you know, the Palestinians really need to analyze their situation over a period of time, and they need to check their past mistakes so that they can take a lesson from it and they wouldn't repeat those mistakes and would plan it better next time. And the second thing is, what I believe is one of their responsibilities is to raise their voice. To raise their voice virtually, like, you know, on social media as well. You know, in a span of these few years, like 5 to 10 years, it has made a really big impact. Palestinians, they're recording their videos and posting on the social media platforms. So this has made a big difference. You know, this made people, you know, come in their support. So they need to do something so their voices reach, you know, across the world. You know, everyone hears them. So, you know, so you see when on Instagram someone posts a video, you see non-Muslims commenting on that, you know, they're criticizing Israel for oppressing them. So they need to raise their voices and they need to get active on, social media to spread the conditions what are inside the Palestinians so that, you know, the world gets aware of it.
Thank you. So the point that you took into account that they have to raise their voice, they have to advertise, and they have to go into social medias and so on, I think my opinion is more related to the responsibility of Islamic Ummah more than be the responsibility of these Palestinian people. So up to here, you mentioned some responsibilities of these Palestinian people, like resistance, like unity, that are so important for sure. But as you know, we have to all have our hands together to defeat the Israel and the dark side of the story. And so in this part of the episode, I want you to talk about the responsibilities of Islamic Ummah, which I think is as important as the responsibilities of Palestinian people. Yeah. So, yeah, Brother Ali.
I want to add one more point to the earlier question.
Of course,
and then is it good to add it now or no?
No, it is okay.
I'm adding one more point to the earlier question of yours, and which I will, inshallah, repeat it in the answer to the same question that you ask it now. One of the key points that Islamic Ummah, Islamic communities, and Muslims, any duty bound Muslim should be aware of, is the power or the art of knowing who the enemy is.
Yeah.
Recognize the enemy well. This is a very great art.
Very important, yeah.
So when I said that Palestinian brothers and sisters should be cautious of what is happening inside the Palestinian ummah or Palestinian communities, so they have to recognize who is their friend and who is their enemy. This is one side. But with regard to the...
I'm sorry, brotherly, for breaking it, but unfortunately, there's still many people in the world that still do not know who is the oppressor and who are the oppressed.
Exactly. Actually, they misplaced them.
Yeah.
This is the problem. That's why I was suggesting this point.
Yeah.
And I think this is not the problem of these people. I mean, this is not a matter of cautiousness. This is the fact that the oppressor wants to be hidden.
And do you know what the reason is? Because they are actually, they have dominance over the news news agencies. I mean, the media of the world is at their hand, at the hand of
their power.
Zionism or Zionist-related powers, right? Yeah. So that's why, because they are working in the minds, but through media, they are working on the minds of the people.
Exactly.
So first, I suggested to the Palestinians. Second, to the Muslim Ummah. Muslim Ummah, Islamic governments have their own duty to support Palestinians, either financially or
spiritually,
or even through in the form of, let's say, equipment that they are in need of.
Yeah.
It's their duty. I mean, they cannot escape from this duty that is on our shoulders.
Yes,
this is Islamic duty that is on their shoulders.
And the least is, I feel like, if verbally, you know, you show your support.
At least this is the least of thing that they can do, right? But though it is not accepted, it is the least thing that they can do.
I mean, unfortunately, even that's not to be seen.
Mm, true, yeah. Sometimes, it is not being seen from the Islamic countries and Islamic governments. They are obliged, they are forced, it is their own religious duty to support Palestinians because they are oppressed.
Yeah.
And not, in case they have that courage, they can even support any oppressed person in the world, whether it be it a Muslim or non-Muslim. This is their duty. Second, Palestinians, why should one side of this battle, why should one side of this fight be fully equipped with different arms, different weapons, different models of modern weapons, but the other side should be empty of those weapons?
Yeah.
So does it bring any responsibility for the Muslim governments, Muslim countries to actually equip their brothers and sisters to at least stand to save their own lives?
Yeah.
So this is the duty to equip them with whatever they are in need of.
Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Father, to wipe away my tears, that's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart, I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human traits and vices that me and you should not have or have. And depends on whether we have them or not, we will be able to either help ourselves and those around us, or we can create chaos. So we need to understand and learn these things. One of the vices that we should definitely not have is oppression, dhulm, to ourselves before others. We said there are many consequences, there are many effects that will follow this kind of oppression to oneself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, He mentioned many of these things that will be a consequence of dhulm. We mentioned a few before in the previous episodes. We will mention a few others today, inshallah, just to make this very clear. If you look at nations before us, and you look at how they lived, and you look at the things that they've done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He invites me and you to have a look. قُلْ أُنظُرُوا, say look. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, say travel the lands. Sometimes traveling, it could be in the mind too. You don't have to travel to another land, but you can visualize it, you can read about it. It's as good as you traveling. When you look at these nations that passed us, most of them, they were punished by Allah, if not all of them were punished and destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes or destroys a nation or a tribe or a city or what have you is because of their oppression and dhulm. And this is clearly stated in chapter Al-Anbiya in verse 11. Allah says, وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ. How many village did we break? Why, O Allah, why did you destroy them? Why did you break them? He says, كَانَتْ ظَالِمَةً. It was an oppressive city. It was an oppressive village. Everyone in that village was oppressive. وَأَنْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. And then, obviously, we brought another one instead of it. So one of the causes for the destruction of any city, any civilization, any ummah, is the fact that they are oppressive. This not only applies to the nations before, but it also applies to us. Now, obviously, with the difference is that Allah, He made a promise to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that he will not bring punishment on any nations anymore in the way that he used to do with the previous ones. The previous ones, he would wipe them out of the face of earth. He completely cleanses earth with them. No one would remain. Allah says, I'm not going to do that, but they will face some sort of punishment. So when you have a nation that is prosperous, that has wealth, that has everything going for it, a country that is, you know, very well in terms of security, very well in terms of food and this and that, but yet the people in that country, they start to become aggressive and they become oppressors to themselves and to one another. And then Allah says, fine, I will not wipe you out, but what I will do is I will take these blessings from you and you'll be living in constant fear of hunger, fear of death. The choice is yours. It's because of your dhulm. وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرِيَةٍ. Why? Kind of dhulm. It was oppressive. Let us take a break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we are talking about oppression and what would happen when someone becomes oppressive to himself and to other people as a consequence. One more consequence I would mention when it comes to one oppressing himself that we need to keep in mind very well. Before I tell you, let me give you an example to make this easy. I'm not sure if you've seen this online or not, but I have. Where a person walks into the shop and says to the shop owner, can I make an announcement to the shoppers? And she says to him, why? He says, I want them to take whatever they want to take for free. She says to him, but who's going to pay for it? He says, I will. And the man, obviously, you know, he gives them his credit card or whatever to pay for the people's items. He makes an announcement. He says to people in the shops, shoppers, for the next 5 minutes, whatever you take is for free. I'll pay for it. And then you see people rushing, trying to grab.